To you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is a pleasure to be with you here this morning for this celebration of All Saints' Day and for the celebration of confirmation as these young people reaffirm their baptismal vows and renew their commitment to Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful celebration day, and so I feel a little bit bad. It's going to be fun, but I figure that what I really want to do today is to start off with that lovely psalm that we heard, or that we said together. Were you all paying attention? Can I just borrow that one there? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you know how you get to those psalms where it just makes your heart sing with joy and love? And you get to say things like, let the praises of God be in their throat and a two-edged sword in their hand to wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings in chains and their nobles with links of iron, to inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful people. Ah! Right? Where's the sword? Right, guys? Yeah. No? Yeah. Come on. Oh. Yeah. Isn't that great? And then just to sort of make it more fun, we got Luke's version of the Beatitudes, right? It starts out like Matthew's, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the pure in heart. It kind of starts off with that way, blessed. But then Luke only does a few blesseds, and then he does what? Whoa, and we want to say, whoa. Yeah, the first part we like, you know, it reminds me of all right, this probably might be too much self-revelation. It reminds me of the Monty Python movie, The Life of Brian. So, okay, yeah, you know, at the very beginning where, you know, they've got the woman who's the Mary figure, and she's in her house, and there's the baby, and the three wise men come in to present their gifts, and they have gold and frankincense and myrrh, and as they're departing, she says, oh, thank you very much. Next time you can maybe not bring so much myrrh, you know. And of course, most people probably miss it entirely, but those of us who live in church land a lot know that myrrh is the symbol of Christ's death, right? So this is a beautiful little inside joke. Monty Python's not hopeless. See, they're godly people. No, just we can't really go there. But it's sort of, you know, that's what we kind of think of, right? You know, enough of the woes. Could we just have some more of the blesseds, right? Right? Well, what do we do with that when we come across that? You know, because this is not the Jesus that we are used to hearing about. We want the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We want the Jesus who is always about, you know, blessing and looking after the little children and all that kind of thing. And here we have Jesus saying, you know, but woe to you and woe to you. And what do we do with the psalm, which seems to start out so well in praise and celebration, and the next thing you know, you got a sword in your hand and you're wreaking vengeance upon the nations. Well, there's a big word, actually, and it is judge or judgment. How many people like being judged? Yeah, not Riyadh. Boo, hiss, down with judgment. Right, yeah. How many people think that we should just not have judgment at all? Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Unless, of course, somebody had robbed you and you were in the court and the judge said, hey, look, I'm not going to judge, right? Or you called the police because there was somebody breaking in your home. He said, oh, look, I'm not going to judge. Maybe he thinks he's doing the right thing, right? You know. Unless we look around the world and we see terrible things happening, we don't say, well, we shouldn't judge those people who are massacring folks. Right? We don't do that. See, here's the thing. We don't like judgment. We don't like the word because it makes us feel uncomfortable. And we think about it immediately in terms of ourselves. And yet, A world without judgment is a world that doesn't believe in justice. And it's a world that doesn't believe in love. Because if you say, along with Jesus, love your enemies and do not hate, you've just made a judgment. To say that God intends that love is what governs the world is to make a judgment. It is to say that love is good and hatred is not. How many people want a world without judgment? Yeah, no, we don't really. What we're really uncomfortable about is we don't feel like we want to be judged. But the truth is, there is no escaping it, and we do it all the time. We do it all the time, both in bad ways, when we judge somebody for their behavior without knowing about them, but also in good ways when we make good choices and right choices. What is it that Jesus is talking about when he talks about the blessings and the woes? Well, the context in which he's speaking is, of course, first century Palestine. And first century Palestine was not noted for its equitable distribution of wealth, shall we put it that way, in polite terms. You had a whole lot of people who were eking out a bare living. And I don't mean that in North American terms, where you're struggling to pay your mortgage. I mean, getting enough food for the day was a concern to feed your family. Some of the stories, when you hear them, they talk about a denarius, a coin, and the workers' wages. There's a parable about that, getting the usual daily wage. The usual daily wage meant that you could afford to feed your family. And then there was a lot of rich people. No, there wasn't. There was a few rich people who had a lot of the wealth. And they controlled most of whatever else went on. So when Jesus says, blessed are you who weep now, blessed are you who are poor now, he's talking to the mass of the people. And when he says, woe to you who are rich, he's talking about a very small band of people who are keeping all sorts of stuff to themselves while these people are starving. Yep, Jesus is judging. And why is Jesus judging? Because you cannot hold wealth like that and watch other people starve and pretend that you are fulfilling God's purpose for you, which is to love others as you love yourself. Jesus is uttering the Beatitudes. I wonder if we should come up with a new name, the Beatitudes and Woes, or there must be some other way of saying it. He's uttering these blessings on those who have not, because he is saying, God loves you, God has concern for you, and in the end, God will set this right. And the woes are to those who have, because he's saying, you think that this is yours? You think this is going to persist? In the end, I'm going to set this right. Now, for those of us who live in an affluent society, that's not a comfortable story, is it? It's not a comfortable story. But it is a challenge. Because what does Jesus then go on to say? Jesus' instructions are to say, love those who hate you, love your enemies, bless those who curse, give to those who have need. Jesus isn't just saying, whoa, he's saying, you know what, let me give you the instruction sheet on what you're supposed to be doing here, because you clearly missed the memo. This is not about who has the most toys when they die wins. It's about how we live the love that God calls us to in this moment now. And why in this moment now? Because in living it now, we are already beginning to live what the kingdom of heaven is already about. Now, how many of you have heard great jokes that start off with, you know, like there was a lawyer who shows up at the pearly gates? Yeah, you've heard that one, eh? Yeah, so I don't have to tell it. That's perfect. Okay. You know, these stories, they start off with examples about, you know, and then there's like big mansions and there's little places, you know. You've heard the one about the archbishop who shows up at the pearly gates, gets shown in, and as they're walking past, they see these big mansions, and he says to St. Peter, "Oh, wow, who's in that one?" He says, "Oh, wow, that's a lawyer. He was a good guy. He was a lawyer." Yeah. And they continue to walk by, and he's asking St. Peter, "Oh, this is..." Then finally he gets shown to this little hovel in the corner of heaven. And he says to St. Peter, "What? I'm an archbishop, for heaven's sakes. How come the lawyer gets the big mansion?" St. Peter says, "Well, you know, he's the only lawyer we got, you know." I'm sorry if there's any lawyers in the... I didn't mean... Anyways, just interlude, yeah. And that was judgmental. Oh, that was terribly judgmental. That was really not... No, we love lawyers. We do. We love lawyers. Yeah, yes, yeah, we do. sorry. The reality is that there are no mansions of different sizes in heaven. You know, that's the great thing. You know, the premise of the joke is completely dumb, right? It's completely dumb because, you know, there's not this sort of like, well, you get a mansion and you get a little place. It's all about the self-giving love that we have received from God being reflected back to God in our lives through our actions towards others. How do we see in that God's judgment? Well, when we talk about this thing about the two-edged sword and passing judgment, what we see in that is that the judge supreme is Jesus Christ. And the judge supreme, Jesus Christ, judges by loving everyone and preaching the truth of God's word and God's love right up to and including his death on a cross. Remember the story. He preaches this love. He preaches this way. The Son of God incarnate comes to earth and shows us what God wants. And what do we do? We judge him wrong through the authorities of the day. And they arrest him, and they sentence him to death. They condemn him, and he's crucified. And here's the interesting thing. The gospel stories tell us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's judgment on the poor judgment of humanity. That the judgment that is meted out on Jesus is in fact comes back upon them because they are shown by their judgment to have been wrong. That hatred and power games are not God's way, but love and mercy and grace are. See, this is the judgment. Love judges hatred. Not in a nasty, na-na-na-na-na kind of way, but love judges hatred because it shows it to be wrong. Mercy judges inhumanity because it shows it to be wrong. The two-edged sword that we wield in the ancient tradition of the church is the sword of God's Spirit, which is God's Word, which lived out in our lives, gives expression to God's love and grace and mercy. That is why so many of the saints died, because they were willing to walk in the way of Jesus and to do it with integrity and persistence right to the end. Love dwelt in their hearts, lived through their lives, and it judges the brokenness and the evil of the world. But it judges it in a different way, doesn't it? It's not about going around and saying, you're going down. You got that wrong. You're gone. Love judges in this way. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Love judges by being true to itself. Jesus Christ, as the incarnate presence of God, the incarnation of love, judges the world by refusing to stop loving even in the face of hatred and violence and death. The saints are those who, by the grace of God, shone with that same love and who gave up their lives to bear witness to that truth. And all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ are likewise called to walk that same path. It's okay to judge when your judgment is love and grace and mercy that we have seen in Jesus Christ. It's okay to judge because we are showing good judgment, holy judgment, godly judgment, and making those decisions by which God lives in us and through us day by day. Pretty heavy for a confirmation, hey? Yeah. But, you know, it's important that we start off by naming that up front as a heavy thing for confirmation, because to be confirmed is for you to reaffirm the vows that you made at your baptism when you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God, and when you renounced all the sinful powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God, and you renounce all those sinful desires which draw you from the love of God. I know I've done this too many times, so there you go. Got it all memorized. I hope you do. And we say, yes, we affirm our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. What does that mean? That He died on the cross for our sins? Yes. He died for us out of love, so that love might live in us. God might live in us in love. We accept Him as our Lord because, well, the Lord is the one who tells us what to do, and His life tells us how we live that out. We obey Jesus because He gives us the instructions that lead us in the right path. And we promise to put our whole trust in His grace and love, because we can only do this by prayerfully being open to the Spirit of God and allowing to God to dwell in us powerfully. We can get it wrong sometimes along the way, just so that you know, probably within 5 minutes after you know, anyways, might even be 3 minutes. That's about what it is for me. But we receive God's mercy and forgiveness, and we say yes again over and over again. So that is what you're doing today, is reaffirming that, as we pray for you to walk in the strength of God's Spirit, to be strengthened to proclaim with your life the love and mercy and justice of Jesus. Are you ready? I know it's not a sword with a cool hilt and all that stuff like they have in the movies, but it's way cooler. It comes in a book form. I presume you all have one. And here's the other cool thing about it. The other cool thing about it is that all these people here are going to get asked a question. And you know, in Anglican Church, we give them the answer, right? Because we don't want them to get it wrong. And sometimes that makes us feel like we're just asking a question. Yeah, we're going through the motions. But they're going to be asked a question if they will support you in your life in Christ. And they're going to say, you better, because I'll ask it again until you get it right. We're going to say we will. And that is all about the fact that you're not on your own. You're not on your own at all. In fact, in being confirmed, you are being bound tighter with all these beautiful people who are going to walk with you in this journey, who are going to help you learn how to have the sword of the Spirit penetrating your own heart so that you may grow in faith, and being the judgment by which you live your lives in love. So I pray Well, I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but I pray that all of us, as we declare our support for them, as we say we will be with them, that we will open our hearts afresh to the power of God's Spirit and allow our lives to be transformed, to shine with the light of Christ, to look to the saints and say, I could be one of those. Well, that might be a little bit arrogant. I could be almost one of those. That's what we'd probably go, aiming for there. May God open our hearts and our minds and pour out that Spirit again so that we may shine with the light and the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.